If you have your Bibles, please turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus 2, we pick it up at verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And she opened it and saw this child. She saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call him a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So he called his name Moses, drawn out, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was growing that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of the matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face. He fled from the presence of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. A father and a mother. A father and a mother and a newborn child. A newly born child. And surely this will speak to all of us today, not just to the parents in the house. A man and a woman, a father and a mother. And a woman conceives and bears a son. You know, it was quite the time. Quite the times. Back up to chapter 1, Exodus 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man in his household came with Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore, he set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel severe, serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she will live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women, they are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. Fear God. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. It's some time to have a child. Some time to have a son. And a command that every son that is born to the Hebrews is to be terminated. An evil command, an evil plan, an evil plot, an evil policy, an evil law. No doubt this speaks to the scheme and strategy of the enemy of souls concerning every son and every daughter, and every son and every daughter of God. I mean, it's some time. It's quite the time to have a child. Quite the times to have a son. Conception in the term of development and growth and growing. The time of birthing. The time of birth. See them on their birth stools, then you shall kill them. Imagine being the father and mother of a child born at such a time. Imagine being the Christian father or mother, a Christian father or mother of a son born at that time. Amram and Jochebed. Amram, exalted people, kindred of the Most High, Jochebed, the mother. Jehovah is glory, whose glory is Jehovah, a son born to these parents. It's quite the time. A child, a son. We must give him a name. Did they give him a name? They must have. Yet there's no record. Well, the child grew, hidden 3 months, and now the mother could no longer hide the child, so she took an ark, put the child in it, and laid the child in the reeds by the river's bank. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. You know, I can't imagine the moment when she laid him in the reeds by the river's bank. Can't imagine the moment when she laid that little ark in the reeds by the river's bank. Trust God. Trusting God. Release the child. Release the child into the hands of God, placing the child in the hands of God. Let go and let God. An ark, a basket, the child in it, and laid in the reeds by the river's bank. I can only imagine she's saying, I can't hide the child, Lord. I can't hide them from the enemy. I can't hide them from the world. I can't hide them from the regime. I can't hide them from the system in place. I've hid the child as long as I can, but he's too big now. You know, Lord, You know the decree. You know the evil. Build an ark. Lord, I release the child into your hands now. This is beyond me. The child. Yet what else might it be? What else could it be? The text, she could no longer hide him. She took an ark. She put the child in it, laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. I mean, imagine the fear and fears. Imagine the heartache. Imagine the thoughts raging. Imagine the rogue visions dancing. I wonder what the father felt. What the father was feeling and fighting. An ark of bulrushes for him. Put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. How do you walk away? The pain and peace of trusting God. How do you walk away? The pain and peace of trusting God. Yes, even here there is peace, and the Lord gives peace, and he is the keeper. Peace is a promise he keeps. And he gives to us the peace that surpasses all human understanding. His sister stood far off to know what would happen to the child. The mother walked away. How do you walk away? The sister is standing there. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she went. She sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. What now? Death? Death to the child? Compassion. You know, even the wicked show compassion. You know, God had a plan for the child's life, and no enemy force could thwart the plan of God. And perhaps some of us need to hear this today, that God has a plan that no enemy force can thwart, that no enemy force can frustrate, spoil, ruin, impede, hinder, stop. Reading, so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you among the Hebrew women? She may nurse the child for you. And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. I mean, it's incredible. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. I mean, how do you walk away? Trust God. Trusting God. He became her son, so she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Moses, drawing out, you know, trust God. Keep trusting God. Time and time again, the child grew. The child grew, couldn't hide him any longer. The child grew. She brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter. The child grew. The child is growing up in Egypt. In God's hands. Growing up in Egypt, amidst the ways and manners of Egypt, the teaching and the educating, there in the thick of it, I think they had to trust God. They had no other recourse. They had no other choice. They had no other option, these parents. And if we are honest, there's no other option for us. Trust in the deposit of God. Trust in the deposit of godliness, those formative days, the time they had, that she had, this mother nursing the child, singing over the child, praying over the child, speaking into the child. Will it catch? Will it ever catch? You know, like wood for a fire, trying to light a fire, to create a fire, that there be a fire. Lord, how is this going to play out? I can't see it, Lord. My eyes need help. My vision is too frail. But I trust you, Lord. Now, when it came to pass, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. Is it ever going to catch? Is it ever going to show the Hebrew in him, the Christian in him, the God in him, the fire in him? Deliver him, Lord. And might he be a deliverer. You know, God works. And let God work. There beneath the surface, there where we can't see, God is working, and God was working. Moses, you know, God was with him through it all the stages and all the growth and all the growing in the environment and environments, in the spaces and in the places. Moses, drawn. And now there was about to be a drawing out. God's got them. God's got them. You know, looking at the events surrounding this son there in the moment and moments as the days and the weeks and the months and even the years played out, I can only imagine, Lord, I can't see it. Lord, I can't see it. Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Where's the fire? Can you trust the deposit of God? Can you see the deliverer? Can you see the calling in the child? Can you see the destiny, the design, the plan of God? When's it going to show? When's it going to catch? It'll catch. The fire will catch. You know, sometimes it takes time. And we must be patient, letting God work. You have to know that the son's parents were praying for him and believing God. They had placed their son fully in the hands of God. For them, a son. And what for us? Hebrews 11:24-29, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing temporary pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. In Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, have faith. Moses, by faith, this is our God. When he was a child under the care of Pharaoh's daughter, was this faith blazing or was it somewhat hidden there in the child, there in the young man? Did his parents observe him as Egypt man? God working within. God works within. Anything happening? Is anything happening, God? God's lighting a fire. And when God lights a fire, it's a lasting inferno. You know, it's not always immediate. We'd love to pour on the gasoline and strike a match. By faith, when he became of age. And I see a picture. Standing there, yelling at a fire, frustrated. Why aren't you burning yet? Go easy. It'll catch. We do our part, but only God can light the fire. We do our part, but it's his fire. And still with the frantic paper and our own attempts at lighting, trust they're caught. And give room to breathe. Oxygen. And let the Lord work and the Holy Ghost. Patient with people and children. Give them time. Give it time. Give God time. Look, by faith, when they became of age, refused to be called a child of the ungodly, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for they looked to the reward. By faith they forsook Egypt. Can you receive it today? Not fearing the wrath of the ungodly king, for they endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith they kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Build an ark. Build an ark. Build an ark, put the child in it, and lay it in the reeds. Lay it in the reeds by the river's bank. You say, I don't have a child. No child. Is there anything we need to lay in the reeds by the river's bank, trusting the future, its future to God? It could be something the enemy is after, even now. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Put it in the reeds, and who would have ever imagined the events that would follow? Remember Joseph? His father thought he was dead. His brothers had sold him into slavery and had faked his death. Sure, there's a difference because the father didn't let go of his son, but you know, he had to give this to God. His heartache and brokenness and pain and grief laid in the reeds. But his son wasn't dead. God was getting him where he needed him. Set the boy in the pit. I mean reeds. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still, that Jesus is not deeper still. A dead dreamer, dead dreams. Imagine being Joseph. God, how on earth is this going to work out? I don't get this, God. This isn't adding up, is it? This isn't playing out like I thought it would. Look at me, Lord. I'm out of my Christian environment. I'm in Egypt. I'm serving in a strange house. Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord, this recognition, even by the ungodly, and his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand to be a success. Trust in the deposit of the Lord and trust in the workings of the Lord. Remember when Potiphar's wife was after Joseph? How would the young man manage? Well, Genesis 39:9. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here's Joseph in a foreign land, in a foreign place, far from home, making the right decisions, making godly decisions, the Spirit of the Lord in him, the fire of God in him. And then he's unjustly imprisoned, But let's read Genesis 39, 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Literally caused him to be viewed with favor. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Well, we know that God sent Joseph ahead to Egypt. A remarkable journey. And it's like God made an ark for Joseph. Put him in it and laid him in the reeds by the river's bank and into Egypt. And it's like Joseph made an ark for himself. Himself in it. And all his hopes and dreams now laid in the reed by the river's bank. And can't you hear him saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm placing my life in the reeds. Not in the reeds of the Nile, but in the reeds of the river of God. I can't see how this is all going to play out, but I trust you, Lord. And so I'm releasing my present and my future into your hands. Trust in God's word, young Joseph. Trust in the dreams he has given you and has for you. One day you'll burn bright for all in Egypt to see. For all in Egypt and beyond to see. The land needs you, son. The people need you, son. The future is calling. For now, the fire doesn't appear as externally noticeable, but there is a fire there within. Look how God was working at the time of the birth of Moses to orchestrate an exodus for the people of God. You couldn't write this. Only God. Slip down to the river. And tell Jochebed of the future. Tell her of the glory of Jehovah. And now run to Amram. Of God's exalted people, the kindred of the Most High. Fresh out of Egypt, run and tell them. Well, back to the picture. They're at a fire, and we're frustrated. It's not burning yet. We're frustrated, and we're even frantic. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. No children, not just a message for those with children. The Spirit will speak. Philip's New Testament, don't overcorrect your children or make it difficult for them to obey the commandment. Bring them up with Christian teaching in Christian discipline. The Voice Bible reads, do not drive your children mad, but nurture them in the discipline and teaching that come from the Lord. The NLT, it starts with fathers, parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Not all discipline and instruction comes from God. The NLV, do not be too hard on your children so they will become angry. Teach them in their growing years with Christian teaching. The NIV reads, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's Father's Day. The message, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. The Living Bible, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord Himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. God's Word Translation, don't make your children bitter about life. Instead, bring them up in Christian discipline and instruction. And the Amplified, reads, "Do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, Moses was growing up in Egypt with all its forces and ideologies and philosophies and customs. He was growing up among Egyptians, in his case, growing up like an Egyptian. But he was a Hebrew from a Hebrew home, a Hebrew family, and God was with him. God was in him. God was working. And might there be one here this day who is a Moses type with no godly parents, but you've given your life to the Lord and he's put a deposit in you, his deposit in you, and you're questioning if you're ever going to make it, if you can handle life in Egypt. Well, son, daughter, trust in the deposit of the Lord. God is with you. A flicker now. The fire is burning. Do your part and God will do his. Moses, his real father and mother Moses. His real father and mother couldn't be constantly influencing and observing him and trying to get the fire of God burning in young Moses. And even if they somehow could have, would they have been frustrated? What's going on, God? What's happening? Is anything happening? Will anything happen? What's the plan, God? What's your plan, God? I mean, he's dressing like an Egyptian. And he's talking like an Egyptian. And he's walking like an Egyptian. And yet, how many are trying to get things lit? Whatever it be it a child, be it something else, someone else. And there is frustration, and there is questioning, and frantic behavior, and too much paper, and we're actually hindering the lighting, we're hindering the igniting. You see, we all have things in life, and we wonder how it's going to work out, how it's going to play out, if it's ever going to show, if it's ever going to happen, or be, or catch. Things we've placed in the reeds there at the river. Things we've released, and now we're trusting God, our bread, upon the waters. It's Father's Day. And this for the mothers as well. Raise them tenderly. Colossians 3:21, fathers, mothers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, she should go. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it. You know, it's so beautiful. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. I guess he had faith. You know, the one that was dressing like an Egyptian and talking like an Egyptian and walking like an Egyptian, I guess he had faith. He forsook Egypt. He endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. He could speak to repentance, life fully surrendered to Jesus, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through. He passed through the Red Sea, the waters of baptism, as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Acts 7:22-23, It's not on the big Bible. It says Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. That's God. When's it going to happen, God? When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart. Who put it in his heart? That's God. It's the deposit. You got to trust God. We've got to raise things tenderly sometimes. You know, like tender plants, tender shoots. Concerning children, let them taste and see that the Lord is good, not harsh, and so forth. And what else might this speak to? And the Lord is saying, be tender. Raise this tenderly. You know, we sing it. Do we believe it? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Well, what other picture? You know, you plant a seed. Have you ever planted a seed? You plant a seed and you're trusting in the growth. You do what you can and you do what you should. Some seeds take longer than others. And you know, too much water and you drown the seed, too little and that's not proper either. And what a frustration that you've seen no breakthrough. No breaking through the ground yet. And so you're constantly removing the soil to see if anything is happening and then replacing the soil, and this cycle continues to the hindrance of the seed. Some seeds take a little more time. God is working beneath the surface. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, growth beneath. Seeds grow down before up. Like, I don't see it, God. God sees. God knows what's going on. Growth beneath. What other picture? Cooking. Everything in place and placed. And open the oven, close the oven. Open the oven, close the oven. Open the oven, close the oven. Just to see if anything's happening. You know, open the oven, close the oven. If you're looking, you ain't cooking. Father's Day grill? No, here to help. Here to encourage. Let's have the worship team return today. You know, I don't know how this is going to speak to each of us today, but I do know this, that in my life, in my lifetime, there have been things and there are things that I've had to let go of. Let go and let God. And so an ark of bulrushes, putting whatever it is in that ark and laying it in the reeds by the river's bank, fully trusting God. And you know, I've seen and I can testify, I've seen the very things saved and brought back and placed in my care, only to have to let go again and trust God with whatever it is all over again. Standing on the other side of many an exodus, if someone would have told me during those moments at the river's bank how it would play out, I imagine I wouldn't have believed them. I think of even those that haven't given their lives to Jesus, and you know, sometimes we're frustrated with them, and we're trying to reach them, and a work is taking place, even though we can't seem to see it. Like David Wilkerson, when back in the day. He was on the streets of New York trying to reach gangs and so forth. And, you know, is anything happening? Is the message getting through? Hey, preach. You're coming through. Or I think of Leonard Ravenhill. You know, his son wrote after his father passed away that when younger, you know, the faith might not have been what his parents thought, but, you know, the whole time he was observing, and he calls his father Leonard the Epistle, watching his father, taking it in, and God was doing a work. Or, you know, we think of those that have heard countless sermons, and it seems like there's no response from their lives, in their lives, but God is working. And it might just be on sermon, whatever the number, it fully catches. Yeah. There have been many over the years, even people over the years and young people, and are wondering, will it ever catch? Will there ever be strong evidence? Will there ever be a holy fire? You know, you couldn't always see it. The stoking that was taking place, couldn't always see the strengthening beneath the surface, beneath the earth. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, his word was in my heart like a burning fire shot up in my bones. An ark of a man. Listen, I know the context. I know the verse. Yet what of a son or daughter or whatever it might be today, and we can't see it on the outside, we can't see it with our eyes or just a flicker, but deep within, there within, a burning fire. Can you see the day? I see the day. I see the moment. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. The Wycliffe Bible, like a fire swelling in my heart and enclosed in my bones. The Living Bible, his word in my heart, is like a fire that burns in my bones, and I can't hold it in. And I think of Moses. You know, he had a reputation to think about in Egypt. But the day came when he chose to become of no reputation. God delivered Moses, and God would now get his deliverer ready. Moses, the deliverer. God knew all along. I don't know if his mother and father knew. But God knew all along, a son born in a dangerous time. Newsflash. We're living in dangerous times. A son born, a daughter born in dangerous time. It's quite the times. Some are just blind, they're just going about life, but you know, it's quite the time. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. It's quite the time. It's quite the time to have a son. It's quite the time to have a daughter, and you know, sometimes when you think about them living in this world and growing up in this world, it can just take your breath away. You feel like you can't breathe for a few seconds. But you got to trust God. You have to trust in the deposit of God. You ever heard the term helicopter mom? I think that's how it goes. Helicopter dad. Park the helicopter. Trust God. Trust God. Be patient. Well, it's Father's Day. And to all the fathers in the house, the happiest of Father's Days to you. Billy Graham said, if there was no heaven, if there were no heaven and no hell, I would still want to be a Christian because of what it does for our homes and our families in this life. He went on to say, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And Charles Spurgeon said, train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Do as I say, don't do as I do. Son, daughter, get your hands up in the worship service. You never raise your hands. Why aren't you praying? Why are you talking? Son, daughter, you shouldn't be watching that. I know exactly what you watch. Son, daughter, you shouldn't be talking like that. I heard you. Lead them in the way of the Master. Follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me. Can you imagine if we could get to the place where you could actually say son, daughter, or to a young believer, if you imitate me, you're imitating Christ. If you follow me, you are following Christ. If you pray like I pray, if you worship like I worship, if you read the book like I read the book, if you love people like I love people, if you act like I act, not only in church when it's holy time, but out there, interact with people, talk with people, if you drive like I drive and react like I read. Listen, I know we're not perfect. But we're supposed to go from glory to glory, aren't we? A little bit brighter each day. A little bit more like Jesus each day. Can you imagine if we could get to the place we said, son, daughter, this is the example. Listen, we do all we can. And we trust God. Malachi 4:6. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the hearts of the children to their fathers. And he will turn the hearts of the mothers to the children and the hearts of the children to their mothers. Lord, let it be. Fathers, let's do all we can. Let's be like Noah. Let's follow the Lord, the word of the Lord. We're talking about obedience and precision in our walk. Let's build an ark for the saving of our household by the blueprints of God. Well, Jesus is the great ark. Jesus is the great ark, and we need him. Lives in Jesus, because there's life in Jesus. If you are here and you aren't saved, you haven't given your life to Jesus, give your life to Jesus. Because it really only is life in Jesus. Give your life to Jesus and know the Father. Off like the prodigal? Listen, it's time to leave the pigs behind. Rise and come to your Father. Rise and go to your Father. Let this Father's Day be the day you come home. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today.